This sermon is titled Proverbs for Wisdom, Proverbs for Daily Living Series, Part 1. Be enriched as you listen.
All right, morning everyone. I'm sure most of us would have been present here on New Year's Day service. So you've probably heard the word of the Lord for 2026. Some of you would have caught that online. But just as a way of reminder, I'm going to just repeat the key points of the word of the Lord for 2026, and then we will get into what we want to look at today. Word of the Lord for 2026, march forward. The Lord will make a way. Some practical instructions. Number one, march forward, step into the plans and purposes of God. So when you say march forward, we're not saying just march into anything and everything, but you're marching into God's plans and God's purposes. And as you do that, we blend the spiritual and the practical. Bring these two together. So we're not just doing the spiritual, we're bringing the spiritual and the practical together. Number two, march forward, push against barriers that hinder you. So just because, you know, you're marching into God's plans and purposes doesn't mean everything is just going to be easy. Sometimes you've got to push against some opposition, some obstacles, things in the way. Push against it. Get God's strategies to advance. Be strategic. Number three, march forward. Don't turn back. Don't retreat. Don't accept defeat. When you face a setback, reflect, relearn, reorganize, retry with divine wisdom. Expect God's supernatural favor and orchestration. Amen? So let's march forward. Let's expect God to do great things in our lives this year, 2026. And see God do wonderful things. And then make sure you share your testimony end of the year. Send an email. Tell us what God has done for you. Now, you know, over some years, I always used to wonder, how do we teach the book of Proverbs in church? How do you do that? Because it's such a big book, 31 chapters, and it's got so many rich nuggets in it. How are you going to bring it to the congregation? So it was a challenge, but starting today, we're going to attempt to do that. So we're going to spend next 3 months, Jan, Feb, March, studying the book of Proverbs. So during this time, I encourage all of us to please take time to read through the book of Proverbs at home. So, you know, you probably heard it said many times, if you read one chapter a day, you're going to finish it in 1 month because there are 31 chapters. And of course, we catch up on a few chapters this month of Jan. And if you read it every month, you know, you can read it at least 3 times, January, February, March. And, you know, really let that book get into you, become a part of you. But what we are going to do is we are going to address this book by picking a few focus areas, right? So I've explained that a little bit from now. So we won't be able to complete the, you know, just bring out everything that's in the book, but I've selected a few focus areas that we will bring out what Proverbs has to say on those. But it'll become a template, and you can use that to look into all the other nuggets in Proverbs. Similarly, there are a lot more focus areas that you can, you know, look at in Proverbs. Now, I'll just explain that to you in a little bit. But just as a way of background, we know that most of what was given to us in the book of Proverbs came through King Solomon, the wise King Solomon. He prayed for wisdom. God endowed him with wisdom. And so somewhere around 970 to 930 BC, so almost 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, Solomon spoke these things. And these were written down. And then later on, around 700 BC, during the time of King Hezekiah, king of Judah, there were the scribes who put it all together in its final form as we have it today. So most of the book of Proverbs was given to us through King Solomon, except for the last 2 chapters. Chapter 30 was given through a sage whose name is mentioned Agar. It was given through him. Chapter 31 was given through another person, King Lemuel. And they were all put together in this book. So most of Proverbs is given to us through Solomon, but we recognize 30, 31. You know, God used other people to bring that to us. So the objective, so if you have your Bibles, I hope you bring Bibles to church these days. If you have your Bibles, whether print or digital, it's okay as long as it's the Bible. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And one of the things that's going to happen in this series is we're not going to be able to show all the scripture on the screens. So it is important that you have your Bible in front of you and just follow along. I'll give you the references so you can quickly look at the verses, and that's how we're going to journey through the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 1, in verses 1 to 4, Solomon tells us his objective in giving us this book. He says, you know, in verse 3, 2, 3, and 4, he says, to know, to receive, to give. So why has this book been assembled for us? So that we can know, we can receive, and he could give to us. And in these three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4, he mentions five things. He says, to give wisdom, understanding, prudence, knowledge, and discernment. We'll explain these things here. But he's saying, you know, I've put this book together. I'm just paraphrasing it. Saying, I know this is put together so that I can give, you can know, you can receive wisdom, understanding, prudence, knowledge, and discretion. I'm not sure if I said discernment. Discretion. Five things he mentions there. So I want to give this to you. And these are, you know, you can think about them as a skill set that you and I need to have to live sound, morally sound lives. Five things. He said, I want you to have this. I want you to receive wisdom, understanding, prudence, knowledge, and discretion. I want to give that to you. I want you to receive it. And that's why this book has been put together. So quickly, some definitions here. It's all in the sermon notes, so you can download. I want to mention the root meaning of the Hebrew word and then how it's used in the book of Proverbs, the contextual meaning. So wisdom, the word literally in Hebrew, simply means to be skillful. To be wise means to be skillful. In the context of the book of Proverbs, it means that you have the skill to live right before God. So who's a wise person? They have the skill for godly living. It's a wise person. And their ability to live right, to have the skill, it comes from the fear of God. And we'll mention this again. So everything the book of Proverbs brings to us, the root is it stems from the fear of God. It's not the wisdom of the world, which they don't care of the fear of God. Yeah, they may say, this is wise because you can make a lot of money. This is wise because, you know, you'll have power and influence and fame and so on and so forth. Wise, wisdom of the world. But the wisdom Proverbs is bringing to us is rooted in the fear of God. That's why he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. So the wisdom, the understanding, the prudence, the knowledge, the discretion that the book of Proverbs is bringing to us, it stems from this thing. It comes from the fear of God. It's very different from other kinds of wisdom that the world has to offer. Understanding literally means that the Hebrew word simply means to separate, to distinguish, to tell the difference. And in the context of Proverbs, understanding means you are able to see clearly in what's really going on. You are able to see beyond what meets the eye. You're able to recognize cause and effect. Now, this is so important because many times we look at the effects of why is this happening? Why is this happening? And we try to treat the effect, but you don't realize what is the cause. If you know the cause, and you change the cause, you can change the outcome, the effect. And it takes understanding to recognize the cause that is bringing certain kind of effect in our lives. So that's understanding. The ability to see into, to distinguish. Prudence means to be shrewd, to be crafty. And in the context of Proverbs, it means to have foresight, to think strategically. A prudent person has foresight and can think strategically. Prudence. Number three, knowledge. The knowledge literally means to know by experience. So in the Hebrew and in the Bible context, knowledge is different from how we understand. We think knowledge as an accumulation of information, an accumulation of facts. But knowledge in biblical understanding is something that you have internalized, made personal through your own experience, as opposed to something I just heard and I've accumulated information, which really has no relevance. It's not internalized. It's not part of you. It's just an accumulation of information. That's information. But knowledge, what the Bible talks about, the book of Proverbs is bringing about, is something that you've gained through relationship and experience. Knowledge. Discretion is the ability to plan, to devise. It's the disciplined thinking that guards conduct. Discretion is the disciplined thinking that guards conduct. A person who has discretion knows how to move correctly so that their conduct is right. So Solomon says, you know, we've put this book together because we want to give to you these five things. And these are family members. They all come together. Wisdom, understanding, prudence, knowledge, discretion. They all come together. And it's interesting, in verse 4 he says, to cause the simple and the young. Who is his audience? He says, I want to talk to, verse 4, to the simple people and the young person. Young people, hello. Solomon's talking to you. He says, I want to give you, young people, I want to give you wisdom, understanding, prudence, knowledge, and discretion. I want you to have it. And to the simple people. Simple people are good people, but they're missing out on this. And so what happens? These simple people, good people, they still suffer. The simple pass on and they are punished. Proverbs later on, he said. I mean, they're just living life because they lack wisdom and understanding and prudence and knowledge and discretion. The simple people, the good people, but they just pass on. They face all kinds of things because they're lacking on this area. So Solomon says, to give the simple and the young people these things. Amen? So we all qualify. Amen? So what we're going to do today, and what how we're going to approach this book, is we're going to pick some focus areas, like I mentioned. And I've just selected a few. Today we'll talk on wisdom, Proverbs on wisdom. In the coming weeks, next week, we'll talk on relationships, family, purity, discipline, work, leadership, and prudence. So these are the focus areas we are going to cover, but there are many more in the book of Proverbs. You'll find Proverbs on communication, how to talk to people, honor, how to respect people, relationship with God, on health, on wealth, on integrity, on planning, on parenting, many, many areas. Proverbs has it all. So we're only going to do a few focus areas, but as we go through this, you begin to get an understanding, oh, this is how I can actually study the book of Proverbs. It becomes a template, and I encourage you to pick up other focus areas that might be of, you know, importance to you and go through the book of Proverbs. So what does Proverbs have to say on communication? What does Proverbs have to say on planning? Or what does Proverbs have to say on leadership? We'll be covering leadership. What does Proverbs have to say on these other areas? And try to just distill that and soak in it. Amen? So today, we're going to talk about Proverbs on wisdom. One last thing, please keep your Bibles open. All right? because the text will not come up on the screens. We'll only put up the references, and I'll just be, you know, running through it in scripture. So it's going to be very handy for you to keep your Bible open on in your phone or in print, whichever you like to use, and so we can quickly go through this. Amen? So please fasten your seatbelts. We're ready for takeoff. Today, Proverbs on Wisdom. Starting with chapter 1, look at verse 5, please. He says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So as we go through these scriptures, look out for these things. What does he say about the importance of wisdom? What does he say wise people do? What are the characteristics? What does he say on how to go acquire wisdom? How do you get it? And what are the outcomes? What are the blessings of having wisdom in your life? Can you look out for these four things, right? The importance of wisdom in our lives. How do you get it? What are the characteristics of a wise person? What does a wise person look like? And number 5, what are the blessings of wisdom, right? So verse 5, he says, what does a wise person do? He increases learning. He's always learning. He's ready to learn. No, and in modern corporate world, we call it continuous learning, continuous education. You never graduate. You're always learning. So what's a wise person do? He's always learning. And a wise person, he attains. That word attain means he buys, he gets, he procures, he goes after wise counsel. So he's not only increasing, going after learning, he's also looking up for wise counsel. Who can I talk to who can give me some wise counsel? So what do wise people do? They go after learning. They go after wise counsel. Is there somebody I can talk to who can give me some counsel in, you know, whatever area of life that you want some input? You want to become wiser? Talk to those kinds of people. But that's what wise people do. And then he tells us about the source, like we said, verse number 7. He says, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So all of this that we are going to, that the book of Proverbs is going to bring to us, comes, it stems from this starting point, this origin, from the fear of the Lord. And so like we said earlier, everything presented to us in the book of Proverbs, it comes from this premise, fear of God. And because you fear God, this is the right thing to do. This is the way to think. This is the way to speak. This is the way to parent. This is the way to lead. This is the way to handle your money. It all comes from that place of the fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of the wisdom, the understanding, the prudence, the knowledge, the discretion that Proverbs brings to us. In chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, wisdom is personified as a lady. Now, don't say wisdom is a lady. That's not what it says. Wisdom is personified. So poetic language. And wisdom here in Proverbs 1, 20 to 33, we'll just highlight some things here, is standing on at the chief places, standing at the concourse, the intersection of busy streets, standing in the marketplace where ordinary people are going to talk and meet and do transact. And it's standing at the city gates. The city gates in Bible times were the place of authority, or the seat of authority where government took place, governance took place. So basically, wisdom personified as a lady, she's standing everywhere. Wherever you go, wisdom is there. And calling out, come, I want to impart to you. I want to speak to the simple ones. I want to impart to the young people, wherever you go, whether you're in the intersections of busy streets with all the deafening noise, or in the marketplace where you have to transact and do things, or in your place of authority in a leadership where you have to make decisions. Wisdom is there saying, I want to speak to you. Wisdom is calling out. So wisdom is available, and God is saying, you know, whatever you're engaging in life, you need to pay attention to wisdom. And in Proverbs 1, 22 to 32, basically wisdom is saying, look, if you reject me, it's like a warning. If you reject me, verse 27, what will you have? Destruction, distress, trouble. So wisdom is giving us a warning. Look, I'm calling out. I'm available anywhere, everywhere. But if you reject, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be distress, a destruction, and trouble. But verse 33, Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure, and without fear of evil. So wisdom says, listen, if you pay attention, I'm going to bring safety, security, and confidence into your life. You're not going to be afraid of evil. So imagine you can live life in a way where, you know, you're safe, you're secure, and you're not afraid of evil. Why? Because you know you're walking with divine wisdom. Chapter 2, Proverbs 2. It begins with these words, my son. Now, this phrase or these terms, my son, is multi-layered, many layers to this. It can be understood in several ways. One, it could be understood as Solomon speaking with that fatherly heart towards the simple and the young. So saying, my son. It could be understood as wisdom personified as father wisdom, lady wisdom in chapter 1, father wisdom in chapter 2. It could be understood as God speaking to us. God is saying, my son, I'm saying these things to you. And we'll see later in chapter 4, it could also be understood as David speaking to Solomon. Right, we'll come to that. But it's all right. All of these things are right. He said, my son, there's a fatherly call saying, listen, I'm speaking to you as a father. A father wants to pour into his children wisdom. And in chapter 2, Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 4, it tells us how to pursue wisdom. How do you pursue this? He says, you know, I want you to incline your ear. I want you to apply your heart. Verse 3, I want you to cry out. I want you to lift up your voice. Verse 4, you seek for her like silver. You search for her as hidden treasures. In other words, to go after wisdom, not like a casual thing. God, I want wisdom. You're constantly seeking. You're saying, God, I want to get this. I want wisdom. I want understanding, God. I want to understand what's going on. Give me this knowledge. Give me this discretion. Give me this prudence. God, I want to go. And you're going after it like you're searching for hidden treasures. You're in pursuit of this. Are you understanding? Now, I remember my own life. I'm not saying this to boast or anything. I'm just saying what I did. From age 13 on to age 18, I was studying here at Bishop Cotton's, if you're a Cotonian. And, you know, every morning I had a half an hour drive from home to school. Every evening I had a half an hour drive back from school to home. And so I would sit next to the driver in the front seat. And for all of those years, every day I would be reading books. Sitting in the car. And I probably read, I don't know, I didn't keep a count, but I could say several hundred books. Just so I had my theological education on the streets of Bangalore. Just sitting and reading books. Going to school, back from school, just reading. The moment I step into the car, I don't care about anything else. I'm going to read. So book after book after book. I was hungry. God, I want to understand these things. I was hungry for the word, hungry for God, hungry for the things of God. And I can't tell you how many books I read just sitting in the car on the streets of Bangalore. But why am I saying that? Because there's got to be an intentional, God, this is the most important thing. I want to know God. I want to know the things of God. I want to receive the knowledge of the Most High. I want to understand what the Bible is saying. It's not easy, but you're willing to pay the price for it. Thank God today we've got so many other things. We can listen to the word. You know, today, while you're driving, you can listen. Going to the gym, listen. Just so many things. But you've got to pursue the knowledge of God like that. to be hungry for it. Are you with me? So that's what Proverbs is saying. Saying you got to seek for her as for treasures, as for silver. You're going after this. Then what will happen? Verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then. It's when you're pursuing. You're in desperate pursuit of getting wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prudence, discretion. You're in desperate pursuit. Then, he says, you will understand the fear of God. You'll find the knowledge of God. And where does it come from? Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes understanding. So it's God is the source. He's going to give it to you. And beautiful, he says in verse 7, God stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Think of it. God is going to store it up for you. Look, I've kept this for you. I'm storing up for you. I want you to tap into it. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. So he's telling us, how should we go after wisdom? And verses 8 to 22, Proverbs 2, 8 to 22. I'm just, you know, if you have to summarize what he's telling us in Proverbs 2, 8 to 22, he says the key benefit of godly wisdom is deliverance. One word, deliverance. It will deliver you from evil. It will deliver you. Look at verse 11. He says, Proverbs 2, 11, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. It'll keep you, it'll preserve you, it'll deliver you. So it's like this. You know, many times when we think of deliverance, we think about, well, I get into trouble and God delivers me, he brings me out of trouble. That is true. But how much better it is for not even to get into it. And that's what he's talking about here in Proverbs 2. If you walk with wisdom and understanding and discretion, you won't even get into it. You'll be delivered even before that. That's a nice deliverance. I've been delivered. I don't even get into trouble. I'm staying out of it. Why? You're walking with wisdom, with understanding, with prudence. That's the key benefit. Right? Thank God he brings us out of troubles. We all make mistakes. We end up in some trap somewhere, and we say, go, God, deliver me. And of course, he's faithful to deliver. But what wisdom does is keeps us from even getting into that. And that's a great deliverance. He delivers us, preserves us from the evil way. Chapter 3, verses 13 to 24, Proverbs 3, 13 to 24, it begins like this. Proverbs 3, 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. So in these verses, Proverbs 3, 13 to 24, you find a list of benefits or blessings of walking in wisdom. And I'm just going to enumerate them very quickly for us. Please follow with me. Proverbs 3, 13, happy, blessed. We all want to be happy. Well, walk with wisdom. Verse 14 and 15, there is fulfillment and satisfaction beyond wealth. Now, sometimes we think wealth is going to bring us everything. It's good to have wealth and it gives us a certain amount of comfort. But sometimes even when you have wealth, you feel unsatisfied. You feel dissatisfied. So what Proverbs 3, 13, 14 is saying is when you walk with wisdom, you'll have this fulfillment and satisfaction that is beyond wealth. It is what money can't give you. You'll have that sense of satisfaction. Walking in wisdom. Verse 16, Proverbs 3, 16. What's one blessing of wisdom? Long life. Verses 16 and 17, there is riches, honor, pleasantness, and peace. Total well-being, shalom, comes into our lives as we walk with wisdom. Proverbs 3:18, it's a tree of life which talks about healing and longevity and happiness. Verse 22, Proverbs 3, it's life to your soul. Soul, nepesh in Hebrew, talks both about the emotional aspect and about the person. So it's life, total well-being to the emotional part and to the whole person. Wisdom brings that to us. Verse 22, it'll be grace to your neck. And ladies understand, you know, where there's all these things around the neck, maybe to look nice, whatever. But he says wisdom will bring grace to your neck. You know, you'll be decorated with grace around your life. It represents bringing honor and dignity and beauty, adorning your life. Verse 23, there's going to be stability and strength. Notice verse 23, you'll walk safely in your way. Your foot will not stumble. And you walk with wisdom. You're walking with safety, with stability, security. You won't stumble. Verse 24, there's confidence and good sleep. So these are the blessings of wisdom. And there's more we're going to see in the book of Proverbs. But look, all of us want these things in life. How are you going to get it? Walk with wisdom is what Proverbs is telling us. So living life with God's wisdom will bring these blessings. Proverbs 3, just want to point out 19 and 20. It tells us, Proverbs 3, 19 and 20, that God, through his wisdom, he founded the earth and he created all things by his wisdom. So here's the thing. When we walk with wisdom, then we know how to rightly relate to the things that God created by his wisdom. If we are not walking with godly wisdom, then we tend to abuse, misuse, or not even understand correctly how to use the things God created. When we walk with wisdom, we're able to rightly relate to the things God created with his wisdom. Chapter 4. You all with me so far? Proverbs 4. Now here, very interesting. Solomon is talking about his relations with his father. In verse 3, he says, when I was my father's son and tender only the sight of my mother, verse 4, Proverbs 4, verse 4, he also taught me and he said this to me. So you can imagine Solomon say, hey guys, I want to tell you something that David taught me. How many of you want to know what David taught Solomon? Yeah, we all know. What did David, a man after God's own heart, teach his son Solomon? So he's telling us, you know, when I was a child, this is what my father taught me. What did David teach Solomon? It says in verse 5, what did he tell him? Solomon, get wisdom. Solomon, I want to tell you something. Get wisdom. He says there, verse 7, you know, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Solomon, but David's telling Solomon. Solomon, I want to tell you something. Get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. That word principle, it's the main thing. It's the most important thing. The most valuable thing. It's the top priority. Solomon, get wisdom. Well, whatever you get your money, you get your horses, all that, make sure you get wisdom. So now you know why. When God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, Solomon, ask whatever you want, I'll give you. Solomon said, God, give me wisdom. Why did he ask for wisdom? His daddy had taught him. Solomon, get wisdom. But whatever you get, it's the principal thing. Get wisdom. So he's asking, God, give me wisdom. But now, you see what he tells us. If you and I will pursue wisdom, what will happen in our lives? He says here in verse 8, if you exalt wisdom, Proverbs 4, verse 8, if you exalt wisdom and make wisdom, getting wisdom the most important thing in your life, what will happen? She will promote you. How many of you want promotion? Yes. Monday, God, happy new year. This year, please promote me. I've been waiting for this a long time. Here's the secret. Get wisdom. Walk with wisdom in your workplace, whatever you're doing. Exalt her, she will promote you. The promotion comes. Increase comes through that. She will bring you honor to cause you to be honored. She'll place an ornament of grace on your head. Again, poetic language. Grace your life with honor. With favor, She'll place a crown of glory. Crown, symbolic authority and dignity. A crown of glory, a crown of splendor. So when you and I get wisdom, this is what's going to happen. Promotion, honor, lives being graced with high esteem among people. And notice verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Means you will be able to progress. You will be able to advance. And you're not going to stumble. How many of us like that? Yeah, Lord, I want to progress. I want to advance. I want to move forward. And I want to trip up and fall. Well, exalt wisdom. Make it the principal thing in your life. And this will be the outcome, is what chapter 4 is teaching us. Chapter 7, Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 5. Again, here you look at how we are supposed to pursue wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discretion, and prudence. How are we supposed to pursue it? He says here, it's Proverbs 7, 1 to 5. Please follow with me. Verse 1. Treasure my words. Treasure my commands. Keep my commands. My law as the apple of your eye. You know, this is so precious to you. Bind them on your fingers. Verse 3. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Call wisdom your sister. Hopefully you love your sister, but call wisdom your sister and call understanding your nearest kin. In other words, they make wisdom and understanding so close to you, dear to your heart. And write them on your fingers. Now, he's borrowing from Deuteronomy 8 verse 6 where, you know, God instructed his people, you know, you tie some scriptures on your hand just to remind you. He's saying, do that. And write it on your tablet of your heart, meaning write it in a way it cannot be taken. Internalize wisdom. Make it part of you. So you're living it. So pursue wisdom like this. Make it very dear to your life. Something that you value, you treasure, very close to you. And then what is the outcome? Here in chapter 7, verse 5, he says the outcome. That they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. All men listening? So, how do I keep myself pure? We'll do one Sunday morning sermon on purity coming up. But here's the key. You make wisdom so important to you, and wisdom will give you the discretion to stay away from people. And he's talking to men, so it's from women who might seduce you and cause you to fall. And I know he's talking to men, but it works the other way also. Wisdom for the woman can keep her and preserve her from the men who want to seduce and cause her to fall. It works both ways. Are you with me? And we need this in our world today. That discretion to walk more with moral purity, we need that. Where does it come? Yeah, wisdom. You make it so important for you, and it'll help you walk with that discretion, which is more being walking with the right kind of conduct. Chapter 8, verses 1, the whole chapter, once again, now Lady Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is personified for us as a lady, and she's calling out again, same way like chapter 1, very much like chapter 1, calling out to people everywhere. And I'll just highlight a few things here. In verse 9, Lady Wisdom says, look, you know, my words, they are very plain to him who understands. Notice, my words are not complicated. Sometimes we think, oh, wisdom is too much for me. I'm not going to have any wisdom. I'm a simple person. It's something I can't attain to. No. He said, wisdom says, my words are plain, they're easy to understand. So be open, receive it. I'll just run through here, chapter 8, and see the the benefits of wisdom. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Lady Wisdom says, you know, wisdom is better than all wealth. Because wisdom can give to us what money cannot. Wisdom is better than all wealth. Verse 12. Wisdom, knowledge, prudence, and discretion. They all come together. They're family members. They're the same skill set that you're talking about. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. So they all come together, and that's what we are pursuing. Verse 13, where does wisdom abide? Wisdom dwells with those who fear God, who hate evil, who do away with pride and arrogance and the evil way. That's where wisdom abides. So it's very important. Because sometimes our pride and our arrogance actually keeps us from receiving the wisdom that we need. To do away with pride and arrogance, or if you want to flip it around, you can say it like this, that we walk with humility, we walk with submission, and then we're able to receive wisdom, because wisdom dwells in such an environment. Look at the blessings of wisdom. I'll just mention these things. Verse 18, riches and honor, enduring riches and righteousness. What does wisdom bring to us? Riches and honor. The same thing is repeated in verse 21. Wisdom causes those who love her to inherit wealth and fills our treasuries. Verse 35, whoever finds me finds life and obtains God's favor. When you walk with wisdom, God's favor rests on your life. And here's the danger of rejecting wisdom. Verse 36. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. You're violating your own self and you reject wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Very interesting. Wisdom has built her house. What does that mean? Wisdom has made a permanent place, a dwelling. So wisdom is not fleeting. It's not coming and going. It's here to settle. It's built a house. Seven pillars. Number seven is the number of perfection, of divine completion. Pillars represent strength. So the home where wisdom dwells is a place of absolute perfect strength. Wisdom has built a house and says, you know, my home, I've got seven pillars. I mean, my home is going to keep standing. And then, chapter 9, wisdom says, come home. Come and eat with me. Come and dine with me. So wisdom is inviting us, come into this place where there is permanence and there is this complete, absolute strength and stability. You've got seven pillars holding this home up. Come into this kind of a home. Dwell here. Are you with me? So wisdom's inviting us. Come and eat of my bread. Verse 5, Proverbs 9. Verse 8 is interesting. It says, look, you don't know how to deal with a scoffer, because if you rebuke a scoffer, he gets angry with you. If you don't rebuke him, he gets angry with you. Why you didn't tell me? See the way a scoffer is going to mock you. So leave them alone and deal with the wise people. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. You teach a just man, he will increase in learning. So here's a wise man. What does wise men do? They will increase in learning. They're willing to receive correction. They're willing to increase in learning and be taught. Verse 12, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. In other words, you face the outcome of your choice. If you're being a wise person, it's going to be good for you. You're going to scoff. you face the outcome. So, we're going to move into fifth gear. We're going to go through very fast. All right, the characteristics of wise people. Just follow along with me from chapter 10. We're going really fast. Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands. So what's a wise person? He's willing to receive instruction. Verse 13, Proverbs 10, 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. What do wise people do? They speak wisdom. You listen to them. Their words are not foolish, empty. They are speaking wisdom. They are disseminating that. Verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge. Want to be a wise person? Acquire, store up knowledge, keep increasing. Verse 19. In the multitudes of words, there is sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Wise people, they restrain their lips. He who restrains his lips is wise. Chapter 11, verse 29. Second part of that verse. The fool will be a servant to the wise of hearts. Or you can put it like this. The people who are wise are going to lead the people who lack wisdom. So people who are wise are going to be in places of leadership. 12 verse 15. Proverbs 12 verse 15. He who heeds counsel is wise. What do wise people do? They listen to counsel. They receive counsel. They receive input. Chapter 13 verse 20. He who walks with the wise will be wise. But the companion of fools will be. So how do you gain wisdom? Walk with the wise. Now, here's a little secret. You and I may not have access directly to wise people, but you can read what they have written, you can listen to what they've said, and you can observe their life. So you say, well, I don't know his phone number, I don't know how to go meet him. It's okay, relax. You may never meet the person, but you can read their books, read what they've written, you can listen to what they have spoken, you can learn from them. So in some way, you're walking with the wise. And it says here, if you walk with the wise, you will be wise. Chapter 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Now, we don't deal with kings these days, at least for most of the world. So what does it mean? People in leadership, who are they going to favor? They're going to favor people who are wise. So in your place of work, you say, Lord, I want my manager, I want my vice president, I want them to pull me up, I want to promote me, I want to get noticed. Well, walk with wisdom, because people who are in leadership, they're going to favor those who are with wisdom. Walk with wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. You have knowledge, but you also need to know when to say and when to keep quiet. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Chapter 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. So you are releasing that knowledge, imparting it to people, blessing people with knowledge. That's a wise person. What do wise people do? This is what they do. Chapter 17, verse 2. A wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. Interesting. So normally you would think, well, the son and the brothers, they're going to be favored. But what this verse is saying is, look, you may not have that family connection, But your wisdom is going to outdo that. A wise servant is going to be favored even beyond the sons and the brothers. So wisdom can elevate you, bring you into a place that supersedes, that does better than those who are even part of that family that are supposed to receive whatever is to be given. Chapter 17, verse 10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Because wise people learn. A foolish person, you could tell them 100 times, they're not getting it. What do wise people do? They're quick to learn. I've been corrected, I got it. You don't need to tell me again, I got it. I'll amend my ways, I'll correct myself, I'll improve, I'll get better. Chapter 21, verse 22. We're getting there. Your redemption's drawing near. Verse 22. Through Proverbs 21, 22. Through a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. So wise wisdom, through wisdom, you can conquer. Through wisdom, you can accomplish what just raw power, raw strength, money, influence cannot accomplish. Through wisdom, you can. Impossible things are accomplished. Chapter 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Wisdom is strength. Amen. Wisdom is strength. Last, Proverbs chapter 30. Very interesting. This is the wise sage Agur speaking. Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 28. He looks at four creatures. He says, there are four things, four creatures, which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. In other words, you know, these four creatures, each of them are embodying a certain attribute of wisdom, and he wants us to get it. First, he talks about the ant, verse 25. The ants, you know, they're so tiny little ants, but they're embodying a certain aspect of wisdom. What do? They prepare their food in summer. Ants have, they're illustrating foresight. Wisdom has foresight. They're tiny little creatures, but they're having foresight. During summer, the gathering. There's an important aspect of wisdom, foresight. Then he talks about verse 26, the rock badgers. Badgers are like little rodents, like squirrels, from, you know, rats. And they, in the rocks, they are so tiny little, but they go into the crevices and hide. And then they look at the lions. Oh, let me see. Can you get me? So basically saying, you know, you're so little, but when you position yourself, it puts you in a place of security, of strength, of power. So the badgers are illustrating understanding that positioning, understanding that gives us positioning that enables us to overpower even the most powerful. And then he talks about the locusts, very interesting. He says the locusts have no leader, but they move in such formation, every locust keeping its place, position, rank, and file, and so they're able to advance like a mighty army. They have no leader. So he's talking about wisdom that helps us be self-governing and cooperating. You see, sometimes we talk so much about leadership. Wow, that person's a great leader, he's doing this, doing that, etc. Okay, it's good to have good leadership. But think about this. If you have a group of people like locusts, meaning they are self-governing, they understand where to keep rank, file, order, then the people, even without a leader, can be a mighty army. And would to God that we as a community can be like that. Regardless of who is in leadership, we're still a mighty army because we have that wisdom, that self-governing ability to be in our place and move together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Then to have one strong leader, let's keep everybody together. Now, if every person had the wisdom to walk like that, you don't even need a leader like these locusts. And then finally, he talks about the spider, verse 28. Verse 15, please come. He says, the spider skillfully makes its place in king's palaces. So the spider is such a fragile little creature. But it's in king's palaces. It's in a place of influence. It's so skillful. Crawls in, weaves its web, sits there quietly. What's he saying? That we may be fragile, but our skill can bring us into those places of influence. So you say, look, I'm fragile, I'm so weak, I don't have power, influence, money, this. But you have skill. And your skill can bring you into that place of influence. So he's saying, no, there are four little creatures where we can get some wisdom by looking at them. There's foresight. There's positioning, there is formation, you know, understanding to be in formation, and there is skill that puts you in places of influence. Amen? Here endeth the lesson. So today, we went journey through Proverbs on wisdom. The importance of wisdom, how to get it. You got to seek for it. Got to go after it. Treasure it. Keep it in your heart. Make it part of you. You walk with wise people. Receive correction. Receive counsel. Listen to the words of God, because out of his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. That's how you get wisdom. And then, characteristics of wise people. They don't talk too much. They know how to disperse knowledge. Walk as a wise person. And then the blessings of wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. It gives you fulfillment more than money and wealth. And yes, wisdom brings success. It brings influence. It brings honor. It brings wealth. It brings health. Like a tree of life. All those things do come as we walk with wisdom. Amen? Five key words. Wisdom, meaning skill. Understanding means the ability to see into. Prudence, it's being shrewd, having foresight and being strategic. Knowledge, it's what you internalize through relationship and experience. And discretion, it's knowing how to conduct yourself properly. Amen? As we pursue this, our lives will be lives that bring glory and honor to Jesus. Amen? Now think about this. The New Testament tells us that Christ has been made to us wisdom from God. The New Testament tells us that we are in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The New Testament tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally, and it will be given him. So you and I should desire, God, give me wisdom. In small things, you have to make a decision. Lord, give me your wisdom. I want to make this decision with your wisdom. I want to handle the situation with prudence, with discretion, with understanding, God. You ask, desire for it in various situations that you have to deal with. Amen? And may each one of us walk with such wisdom. And people look at us and say, you know, that man, that woman, is something different. Remember what the Bible says? When you and I walk with wisdom, nothing will stop us. We keep advancing. We keep progressing. And we will not stumble. Will not fall, because you're walking with wisdom. And people see godly wisdom embodied in our lives, in our conduct, in our speech, in our work, in all that we do. May they see the wisdom of God. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that each one of us, young people, teenagers, young people, grown-ups, and whatever stage of life we are in, that God, our lives will be graced by your wisdom. God, that you will impart to us that wisdom and understanding and knowledge, prudence and discretion that we need at every stage, every moment in life. The decisions we make, the words we speak, the friendships we maintain, in the work we do, the things we pursue, that we will, Lord, be guided by divine wisdom. That each of our lives will be ordered by your wisdom. And God, may our lives experience all of these good things, all of these promises that are there, that wisdom would bring into our lives. Happiness, favor, well-being and peace, honor, grace, riches, promotion, and all of these things. May we walk in it. So work in each of us, we pray. And Father, we pray, God, for if there's anyone amongst us here this morning and we're in a place where we're about to make a decision that isn't right for us, a wrong decision, a foolish decision, or we ask that you will send godly counsel. Send the people who can bring us wise counsel, God, to keep us from the error of our own ways, to keep us from making a mistake, stepping into a blunder. Send us wise counsel and give us, Lord, hearts willing to receive, ears willing to listen. That understanding and discretion will preserve us from the evil way, from the distress and the destruction that might come upon us. So intervene in our lives with your wise counsel. I just want to say this, and it's not because I know anyone personally, but if there's someone here, you're about to make a decision to buying a home, and you're here this morning, and I just feel to say this, receive wise counsel before you make that decision today. Before you take that step, receive wise counsel. And if that wise counsel tells you not to proceed, then withdraw. Take a step back. Maybe God wants to preserve you from making a wrong decision. So work in our lives, Lord, with your wisdom. Direct our steps with your godly counsel. Thank you. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit continue with each of us always. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.